Now, when we left off first session, we left off with Eli and his two recalcitrant sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And Hophni and Phinehas have been misbehaving. And it's Eli's responsibility as high priest to rein them in. He has a great deal of parental love for his boys, and he wants to see them do well. And oftentimes when they don't, children don't do well, the parents become myopic or blind. And they don't really see the entire issue before them, or they deny it. Now, in his particular case, he suffered from old age. He suffered from being obese. He was a big old fat guy, and he was going blind. So you have a blind old fat guy, and he is the high priest of Israel. And his boys are running roughshod with the lady folk as well as making a mockery of the rituals. And their sins are exposed in 1 Samuel 2, verses 22, 23, and 25. Here's verse 22. Now Eli was very old, and he heard all that his sons were doing to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who served at the doorway of the tabernacle. And he said to them, "Why do you do such things, the evil things that I hear from all these people?" Now, the way that Eli dresses down his boys is to ask them a question as to why they're doing it. What difference does it make why they're doing it? See, that's not the question to be asking. The question is, do you want to be fired this morning or this afternoon? But why are you doing it is not a pertinent question. It's like, why do you think Osama bin Laden did what he did? If we knew what he was thinking, what motivates Osama? If we could find that out, we could put a stop to terrorism. Well, a question arises. Let's relate that over to Hophni and Phinehas. If they had said, well, you know, you're fat, you're blind, and you're old, and you've been that way for a long time, and we're embarrassed about it, and we can't deal with our feelings, and we have these things that just have to come out, and therefore we do what we do, and we just can't help ourselves. And he would have said, well, now that I know what has motivated you, then okay. 1 Samuel 2:25. If one man sins against another, God will mediate for him. See, that's rebound. Confession alone to God alone. Jesus Christ is our mediator. But, get this, if a man sins against the Lord, who can intercede for him? Blasphemy is something that can be confessed, but that is a sin against the Lord, and you have to take care of that. But they would not listen to the voice of their father, for the Lord desired to put them to death. Oh, how harsh. How harsh. Point 12. Now that you would hear from the budding theologians of our day is the harsh God of the Old Testament, as if God is different then than he is now, that it's a different God, another God, one who now has a better attitude. There's a lot of bad theology out there, and that bad theology has led to the dilemma we now face, and we are involved in trying to do what we can to correct that. So point 12. In every dispensation, some individuals are sanctified. Hagios means, translated sanctified, means to be set apart for special service before God. In every dispensation, some individuals are sanctified, set apart for special service. Such divinely chosen people are given precise direction with regard to their duties. The precise direction to Hophni and Phinehas was the Mosaic law. They were to know that. They were to execute all of these rituals in a prescribed fashion and to do so on time by observing the moon phases, as we've noted. So they had a way to do it right, and to do it on time. In the case of the Levites, they were responsible to carry out the daily chores inside the holy place and the outer court of the tabernacle, to perform the sacrifices, to officiate at the feast day rituals, and to utilize these things to instruct the people in the theology of each. Now, they were teachers. Not only were they to manage the ritual, as they did so, they were to teach the implications, the typology, the doctrines that were significant to each. That was their job. And they had all of these chores. They had sacrifices to perform, feast day rituals over which they were to officiate, and they were to instruct the people in the theology of all these things. 13. When men who possessed divine authority failed to use that authority to glorify God, they engaged in a level of public sin that was always dealt with harshly by the Lord. If you're in a position of spiritual authority in God's system, and you misuse that authority, you fall under double compound discipline from God Himself. You had better be careful what you're doing. A pastor's got a lot of weight, going back to our study of Kavod, meaning responsibility to the Lord, not to any of you. Your responsibility is to the Lord, not to me. Our responsibility together is to learn the Word of God, get it right, and make application under pressure, and leave each other alone as we each try to live our lives. But I'm telling you, the pressure can be great in certain circumstances, and you wouldn't want to follow some of the people in this church around and try to do better. The idea is, let's see if we can get our own life straightened out so we can contribute to the salvation of this client nation as well as the glory of God. That's our duty. Now, men who have this authority assigned to them, priests in the dispensation of Israel, pastor, teachers, and evangelists in the dispensation of the church, their duty is to glorify God. And when they fail to use their authority for that end, then they engage in a level of public sin. No, you don't miss it when a pastor screws up. Or a priest, and you don't fail to mention it, by the way. You don't miss it because it's public. And when a priest, both of them, when priests, Hophni and Phinehas, perform these rituals and steal the Lord's food, that food is designed to teach doctrine. They took all of it, including the fat portions. No fat portion was ever allowed to be eaten. On every ritual, fat portions are burned, on every one of them. And the fat portion was their favorite. And that's why their daddy was a fat man. He ate all the fat. You know that, those of you who diet. You just don't eat fat every day and expect to lose weight. Well, Eli ate fat and his boys ate fat, and they were to be burning the fat. Now, 14, we've studied the case where Moses, commanded to speak to the rock for water, struck it twice. He speaks to the rock. That's speaking to the Christ. We speak to Christ. Christ has already been smitten. We don't smite Christ again. He's the rock. And he was told, speak to the rock. And he goes up there and waylays it not once, but twice. And that was before the entire congregation. 2 million people standing around slack jaw. Did you see that, Margaret? He hit the rock and he hit it twice. The Lord told him to speak to the rock. Isn't that what he's... Yes. He hit it. And so everybody was flabbergasted. Now, what did that communicate to 2 million people? Disrespect for the Lord, His mandates, His authority, and Moses' position over the people. You can't let people in leadership get away with that kind of thing. If you do, there will be complete disorder throughout the entire organization. Moses had to pay. And this failure by Moses to follow precisely the mandates given to him by the Lord resulted in him not being allowed to enter into Canaan. And people say, well, all he did was just hit a rock. Yes, he hit a rock that was a type of Christ already crucified. And it was going to supply the water of life for these people. And what did he do? He hits him again. And that was witnessed by everybody, and it couldn't stand. And it wasn't unfair. He was in a position of leadership. I'm telling you, to whom much is given, much is also required. 15. The fate of Hophni and Phinehas was far more thorough. In fact, it was terminal. Further, during their time of administering the priesthood in Israel, the people lost the thought as a result. They're not teaching doctrine. The population of Israel gradually loses its knowledge of the theology it needs to know. And then in that vacuum begins to suck in the cults around Canaan and takes up many of their activities, including the phallic cult. Although the priesthood was the catalyst for the decline of Israel, the people were personally responsible for their failure to remain positive. Here's an example. There are plenty of churches today. They have a great-looking building. They have fancy things on the inside and organs that cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. They have clubs, they have bowling alleys, they have meetings, they have Disney World, they have everything in there. And people come in droves around there. And they sit in these highly polished pews and they listen to 20 minutes of drivel. And the people who like the facade rather than the message stay there. It is their fault that they don't go somewhere else, find the Word of God being taught, and sit under that pastor if it requires them to sit in a gymnasium. But that's their doing. But that's what happened here. These priests were misappropriating their duties in the tabernacle, as well as being involved in gross immorality. And the people did not seek teaching anywhere else. They just said okay and let it go. So we're all held responsible for our decisions. And they were responsible to remain positive to the spiritual life of their dispensation. So let's get down to who's responsible for all of this. Let's note in point 16 a passage in Jeremiah chapter 23. Where do the problems start? That's a good question. They want to interview Osama bin Laden to find out what motivates him. Let's ask this question. Where did the problem start in America that led to the moment where our defenses, our shores, our peace and tranquility was attacked and in some cases destroyed? Where did it all begin? Whose fault was that? If you tracked it back, where do you wind up? Jeremiah makes it clear that national discipline begins with the failure of spiritual leadership in any given dispensation. That's where the problem begins. Spiritual leadership. Jeremiah 23, verses 1 and 2. Woe to the shepherds. Shepherds refers to the Levitical priesthood. In our dispensation, it's pastors. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Destroying has to do with a spiritual corruption that leads to destruction. If truth is not taught, then the pastor is responsible for the mental attitude and soulish destruction of the sheep he is assigned to teach, who are destroying. That's the spiritual corruption that leads to destruction. Destroying and scattering the sheep, in this case the Jews of my pasture, Judah. In the case of Jeremiah, it was Judah. Verse 2, therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who are tending, and their tending was teaching false doctrine, my people. You have scattered my flock, that's Israel, and driven them away and have not attended to them by teaching the ritual plan of God. You've done this. You're involved in all this cultic activity with heathen religions. You've forgotten the proper function of the tabernacle. You're not paying attention to the moon phases, and you're not performing the feasts at the precise time I have told you to perform them. You're ignoring all of this. You've scattered my flock and driven them away and have not attended to them. Behold, I am about to attend to you. Whoa. Why? For the evil of your deeds. That's personal discipline to apostate priests, and then he signs off on it, declares the Lord. 17. This verse gives us the key to why our nation's wall of fire was lifted last month. Now, be careful. You don't want to point fingers at pastors. The Lord takes care of them. Double whammy. You don't want to get involved in that. Not many people up to double whammies. So you just stay out of that. Okay, I'm just telling you where the problem is. The problem lies in the pulpits of the Protestant churches of the United States of America. It has been there for dang near 50 years or more. There have been some bad ideas out there for a long time, but they seem to have snowballed over the last 40 years. Pastors are the problem, not teaching the truth. They're being swayed by public opinion. What's happening now, church? What's happening now? We'll do that. What do y'all think ought to be the standards by which we govern our lives? Could we go to Sunday school and have people maybe jot some things down for us, and then we'll adjust the theology accordingly? And we want everyone to feel good about themselves, and we want you to bring other people in, and we want you all to give money. And it's the Lord's will that you give money. Bring your tithes into the treasury. See, I can do this. I could do it. I could have 2,000 people in here in 6 months if I was willing to take the double whammy. For too long, the pastors of this client nation have meddled with God's word, distorted the gospel of Jesus Christ, and promoted as righteous the behaviors of heathen. Too many pastors have participated in the tearing down of the four divine institutions while ignoring the clear teachings of these things in the Scripture. They participated in tearing down the divine institutions. The very idea of the subject of ordaining homosexuals and women in a church is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. The person who brings this up should have been kicked out of the church or told to do better. The very idea to bring that kind of behavior and that kind of mismanagement of divine appointment into the pulpit of Christ's church. Women don't belong here. Why? Not because we hate women. Not because we're Islam and want you to walk around with a rag on your face. It's simply not in the Scriptures. I don't know why. It's not my responsibility to know why. It is simply not in the Scriptures. God doesn't want it that way, and we have to abide by this. Well, maybe he just meant it for a former time. Too many pastors have participated in the tearing down of the four divine institutions. That is volition. Volition allows you to decide. The principle needs to be taught so that you can decide for yourself whether you will subscribe to it or not. And then there's marriage. Now, all of these people having second and third weddings wearing white the whole time. What do you get about that? What's going on here? I mean, look, if you've been married three or four times and want me to do your wedding, fine. But we're not going to go through all that crap at a church, the singing and the braying, and bring these people in to bray. Not going to do it.
and parading around in all those outfits and costumes and not paying one bit of attention to anything that's being said. You missed it the last two times, and now you want to hear it again. And then there's the family. There's a tearing down of the family. And on it goes. Oh, and don't forget how our military is chastised by the clergy, which is a part of the national establishment. 18. Human race is a fallen race infected with the trends of the sinful nature that must be kept in check by divine revelation. If you don't teach what the Word of God says about personal sin, and you don't know what personal sin is, and then you approve of it when it occurs, then you're not doing your duty. Teach it whether it hurts or not. Y'all need to quit doing what it says here. He points at the passage. Y'all need to start doing this, and points at the passage. Without this vision of biblical truth, the people perish, and that's what's going on. 19. If the priests and pastors fail to reveal the principles of the plan of God in their respective dispensations, including those that restrain the sinful nature, then ultimately the people will degenerate into evil. Such is now the case in America, and such was the case in Israel in the time of Eli and his sons of Belial. 20. The Lord placed a curse on the house of Ithamar, decreeing that they would not forever hold the office of high priest and the priesthood in Israel. And Eli gets dressed down by the Lord in 1 Samuel 2, verses 27 through 30. And this is a dressing down. The Lord is going to send an unnamed messenger to confront Eli with this. 1 Samuel 2:27. Then a man of God, we don't know his name, he is an unnamed prophet. A man of God came to Eli and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, did I not indeed reveal myself to the house of your father Aaron when they were in Egypt in bondage to Pharaoh's house? Do you recall that that's what I did, Eli?" In other words, I assigned priesthood duties to Aaron and his progeny, of which you're a part. You recall that, don't you, Eli? Verse 28. Did I not choose them from all the tribes of Israel to be my priests, to go up to my altar? That's right here. To go up to my altar, to burn incense, that's in here, to carry an ephod before me, that's the vestment, and did I not give to the house of your father all the fire offerings of the sons of Israel? And the fire offerings take place out here at the brass altar. Verse 29. Why do you kick at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I've commanded in my dwelling, and you honor your sons above me by making yourselves fat? Fat with the choicest of every offering of my people Israel. You know what this is just like doing? It's like a church trying to herd in all of these people so they'll contribute money and then skimming it off somehow. Pastors, the deacons, the assistant pastors, the assistant pastors, all these people skimming the money. It happens. And that's what's going on here. They're skimming the fat. Why do you kick? Do you know what the word kick here is? Ba'at. It has to do with negative volition toward the divine mandate. But we've studied this very word in kicking against the goads. Their mandate was to do a proper service for the Lord at the tabernacle. They didn't want to. So they kicked those things. I'm not going to do that. That's the word kick, ba'at. That's negative volition toward the mandates. Why do you kick at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling, tabernacle, by making yourselves fat with the choicest of every offering of my people Israel. Verse 30, therefore, they didn't want to hear that. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel declares, I did indeed say that your house, meaning Eli's, and the house of your father Ithamar should walk before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me. In other words, far be your house from me. For those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. 21. Hophni and Phinehas, and by his failure in leadership, Eli had failed to honor the Lord. And in their assignments of the tabernacle, reviewed by the prophet in verses 28 and 29. The word honor is the PL participle, followed by the PL imperfect of the verb kaveth. Now that's K-A-V-E-T-H. Now I've been through the deal on kavod. That is spelled K-A-B-O-D. But when you pronounce it, when you get to the point of pronouncing these letters, the B in this case is pronounced in the English as a V and the D as a TH. And so we stuck with that since we go with the correct pronunciation, K-A-V-O-T-H, kavod. And now we have a word showing up here, translated honor, K-A-V-E-T-H, kaveth, means honor or glory. Same word group. So point 22. Kaveth is the root word of its derivative, kavod, which we've translated as glory and we're working on now diligently. Those who glorify God will be glorified by Him. Now, how do these people glorify God? Perform their duties at the tabernacle according to the Mosaic law. Do so honorably, and do so consistently, and do not be distracted, and leave the women alone. That's how they would glorify God. And then in turn, He would glorify them. Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas could only glorify God by faithfully, consistently, and precisely performing the duties associated with their office of priest. To deviate from their assignments for personal gain was considered by the Lord not only a failure to glorify Him, but a manifestation of a mental attitude of contempt. Why did Hophni and Phinehas do the things they do? Contempt. That's what Osama has for you, contempt. And you're not going to change his mind. And these boys are not going to change theirs. Once a person moves into that level of mental attitude sinning, he is in the intensified stage of the three arrogant skills, and bitterness has gone beyond recourse. And these young men are going to be dismissed in a very fatal way. And we've got it right here. The Lord knows the thinking of the individual. He can pull an inventory and know immediately what motivates you. And you can self-justify it all day long. I was justified in doing that because. And on the inside of your putrid soul, the Lord looks in there and finds the motivation is contempt. And the contempt was for Him and His sacrifices and His tabernacle. Ooh. They have drawn up a bill of indictment for themselves that is going to be executed against them shortly. To deviate from their assignment for personal gain was considered by the Lord to not only be a failure to glorify Him, but a manifestation of a mental attitude of contempt. And the English translation is despise, and it is the cal active participle of the verb bazah. That's B-A-Z-A, bazah. It means to despise, to disdain, to hold in contempt. 23. The basic meaning is to accord little worth to something. Such an attitude undervalues something, for example, the duties of the priesthood, or it undervalues someone, for example, the Lord, who elected them to the honorable position of priest and assigned them the responsibilities of teaching doctrine through the ritual system instituted by Him. That's their duty. That is how they acquire honor, to do the duty. 24. The verb reveals an attitude of disobedience to divine will that resulted in an outward display of contempt. The exact opposite of this concept is kaveth, to honor. Contempt is the opposite of kaveth. They are dishonorable. And they're dishonorable in their behavior, their action and function, because of this inner contempt. 25. These three men have kicked against the
office and instead submitted to the desire and will of the sinful nature. They're out of control. We have leadership out of control. And in order to, they've gone past the point where they can be reined in. Their daddy went to them and says, boys, y'all got to quit this. And what did it say over here? No, we enjoy this too much. We're not going to quit. They would not listen to the voice of their father. And at that point, when they defied their father, who in the household is the authority, in that dispensation, they're grown men, obviously over age of 30, but in the structure of the Jewish society, their father still had power to give them direction, and especially since he supervised them as high priest. And at that point, when they said no to their father's direction there, the Lord decided at that point they had to be executed. So what do we find by the time we get over to 1 Samuel chapter 2? We find the Lord has sent a messenger. The result of such thoughts, decisions, and actions by those who shepherd God's people is demotion. You're going to be demoted. The English translation is lightly esteemed and is the cal imperfect of the verb kalal. To be lowered in position of importance or to be cursed. Ooh, how would you like to be cursed? Well, that's what happened to these fellows. They were cursed because they grossly defied through contempt the execution of their duties at the tabernacle, and then put an exclamation point behind it by entering into harlotry. Right there at the front door. Now that is brass. Brass ain't enough to stand up to this. And where the Lord said, I will do this to you. And so we have kalal, to be lowered in a position of importance and to be cursed. 26. This word implies that the person cursed has been stripped of his function and as a result suffers a loss of prestige. It implies the condition that results from breaking a covenant, the details of which are clearly reviewed by the prophet in verses 28 through 29. A covenant was cut with the house of Aaron, included Eleazar and Ithamar's lines, of which they're a part through Eli, the line of Ithamar. Now, we had a deal, and I gave you the rules and regs, and now you have grossly violated these and done so with contempt. Point 27. The curse is imposed upon Eli, his sons, and the entire line of Ithamar. 1 Samuel 2, 31 through 34. Behold, the days are coming when I will break your strength and the strength of your father's house, so that there will be not an old man in your house. 34. And this will be the sign to you which shall come concerning your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. On the very same day, both of them shall die. 28. Pastors who do not properly shepherd the flock assigned to them by God will come under severe punishment from their senior ranking authority, the Lord Jesus Christ. These guys had played out their hand and it was over. They'd been given opportunities to recover and they rejected it. And now the Lord has taken action. Here's the deal. You can only defy the Lord. You can only blaspheme Him so long until the inventory of ideas is so corrupt and so degenerate that He steps forward and says no more. He will do this for the degenerate unbeliever. He will bring him down to nothing. He will do it for the degenerate believer. They will be called home ahead of time. But for a client nation, He is very patient. There has to be a client nation in history. There must always be a place of refuge for the royal family. He will protect that nation at all cost, and He will suffer great improprieties by those within. But at some point, in order to protect the pivot down the road, the believer down the road, those unbelievers yet to be evangelized who need an environment of freedom, this area of real estate must be protected. And if we're not going to take it seriously, what our duties are here as a people, then God is going to rattle our cage. He is going to give us a wake-up call, and He is going to give us a reason to reevaluate our souls. And we have had that opportunity come our way on September the 11th. I personally do not see much response to this except in very superficial ways. You can therefore expect a few more of these kinds of things. Expect them and know I've told you about them. It's from the Scripture. We're going to see a battle. We're going to see it happen one time and a few thousand people are killed. And the Jews do not readjust. In fact, they even go into human good solutions that is an insult to God. And seven times the number is killed on the next occasion. It is a carbon copy of what is going on in this country. And it's right here in a very obscure passage in 1 Samuel. Pastors of America have chosen to ignore their calling, which is to study and teach the flock assigned to them. The end result is a population that is ignorant of the Word of God and therefore has no inventory to consult in time of crisis. Now, this paragraph is the Ichabod of Israel, the loss of their glory. And we're right smack dab in the middle of that loss. And we're going to see it even get worse for the nation. We're going to see the elimination of Hophni and Phinehas in the battle where the Philistines come in and challenge the Jews. In other words, you have a predator nation come in and challenge them. And they send the army down there, and the army doesn't do well because they're not prepared. They've been busy involved in all of these heathenistic activities. They don't have the soul power, no iron in the soul, because they haven't acquired the doctrine over the years, failure of the priesthood. So they're not a prepared people to fight war. And it shows in the battle of Achish. And we'll see that on Tuesday evening. Well, Heavenly Father, we are grateful to You for the power of Your Word, the opportunity to study these things, the illustration of how we might glorify You, but that done by the power of the Spirit and in the execution of Your Word within our souls. We must respect the fact that You are the ultimate glory. It is Your glory that we see. You have revealed Yourself to us in so many ways, and that glory is what attracts us to continue the pursuit of Your plan and Your purpose. And as members of a client nation, we do pray for the United States of America, for those who are in it, that they might accept the challenge already issued, and that if that's not enough, that we might be able to offer all the kinds of comfort, all the thought, the gospel, the doctrine necessary to inform those who might yet need future shocks from Your justice. All of these things place a great deal of responsibility on us. It is therefore imperative that we continue our pursuit of truth so that we might stand in the gap during this time of need. And we lift our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of the armies. Kares Human Kairene, Plethun thae en epinosai tu theu kai iesu tu kurio hemon. Now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Guide me, O thy great Jehovah, shall we stand as we sing.